Service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Max FM. Maximum hits.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Kurt Holub, a retired pastor for 10 years, but I've been serving vacancies, helping out here to be the 10th congregation that I'll be working with. I am officially a member here. My wife and I spent half years in west side of Phoenix, and we're here when we aren't visiting grandchildren or elsewhere on Sunday, so you may or may not have seen me in the past. I recognize some familiar faces. So wish you God's blessings on our worship tonight as we celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ. And there's going to be a baptism on Sunday, so the hymn I chose for this weekend is a baptism hymn that speaks about the freedoms that we have. We don't fear sin, we don't fear devil, we don't fear death. And that'll be our opening hymn tonight, even though there will not be a baptism here. We'll use the baptism rites order of confession because it puts us in mind of the forgiveness that we have through our relationship with Christ in our baptisms. So God's blessings on your worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Curtis Holbrook will be bringing us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture readings from Galatians 5. Born free, live free. Our worship today will be morning praise 2. Our congregation will open with the service singing the Christian worship hymnal, hymn 679, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. Hymn 679.
Since we are having difficulties on board, I'll look up the confession of sins that goes with the order of baptism. It's on page 151 in your hymnals, page 151. So the hymns are listed in the bulletin, if everybody got one. Is that anyone important that I announce each hymn? No? Okay. So we'll follow the page 151, the order for holy baptism, confession of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God and are condemned to eternal death. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. In baptism, he clothes us with the robe of righteousness and gives us a new life. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we read together. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily rise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And all as baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature, and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit and united us to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Every day, God forgives your sin, removes your guilt, and strengthens you to defeat Satan's power. His promise is for you and your children, and he will never forsake you. Your sins are forgiven. You are clothed with Christ. You are at peace with God, now and forever. Amen. Okay, I don't know that they won't have the singing for this now. So we'll have to, what?
Yes, we handed out the
service folders.
Oh, we hand them out?
Yeah.
Oh, super. Okay.
Thank you.
first reading for this weekend is recorded in Ruth chapter 1, where Ruth is blessed as a non-Jew, as a proselyte into the Jewish faith and the Old Testament faith, to know the true God and to choose to serve him along with her mother-in-law, Naomi. We read from Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. During the days of the judges, a famine occurred in the land. So a man left Bethlehem in Judah to stay a while in the territory of Moab. He, his wife, and his two sons. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were from the clan of Ephrath, from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the territory of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. So she was left with her two sons. They then married Moabite wives. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth. They lived there for about 10 years, but Naomi's sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. So the woman was left without her two children and without her husband. Then Naomi set out with her daughters-in-law to return from the territory of Moab, because while she was in the territory of Moab, she heard that the Lord had graciously visited his people by providing them with food. So she left the place where she had been and her two daughters-in-law with her. They set out on the road to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, both of you. Return to your mother's house. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you find security in the house of a husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept loudly. But they said to her, "No, we'll return with you to your people." Then Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Am I going to give birth to any more sons who could become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to be married to another husband. Suppose I say I have hope and I will be married to another husband tonight and I will even give birth to sons. Would you wait for them until they grow up? On the basis of that hope, would you give up the chance to marry another husband? No, my daughters, it's much more bitter for me than for you because the hand of the Lord has reached out against me." They once again wept loudly. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth would not let her go. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law has returned to her people and to her gods. Go back, follow your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to abandon you or to turn back from following you, because wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you make your home, I will make my home. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely and double it if anything but death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Then the two of them traveled until they arrived at Bethlehem. The word of the Lord. We sing Psalm 25, "I lift my soul to you." Thank you. Our second reading this evening serves as our sermon text. Later, it's from Galatians chapter 5, where we read the first verse and then verses 13 to 25. And this is what God's word says. Paul writes to the Christians of Galatia, and he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not allow anyone to put the yoke of slavery on you again. After all, brothers, you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as a starting point for your sinful flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. In fact, the whole law is summed up in this one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. What I'm saying is this: walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out what the sinful flesh desires. For the sinful flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful flesh. In fact, these two continually oppose one another, so that you do not continue to do these things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the control of the law. Now the works of the sinful flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, complete lack of restraint, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, orgies, and things similar to these. I warn you, just as I also warned you before, that those who continue to do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in step with it." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And please rise for the gospel. In this gospel lesson, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan who, maybe without even knowing the true God, instinctively takes care of another. How much more since Christians, and not doing it to earn or merit anything, but as a fruit of their faith that they have as God's people. We read from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. "Just then an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he asked him. 'What do you read there?' He replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' He said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. It just so happened that a priest was going down that way, but when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also happened to go by. But when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. A Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. When he saw him, he felt sorry for the man. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He put him on his own animal and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day when he left, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. Whatever extra you spend, I will repay you when I return. Which of these three do you think acted like a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? The one who showed him mercy, who showed mercy to him, he replied. Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. We sing our next hymn, 572, Not What My Hands Have Done. If you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Dear worshipers, tonight, as mentioned, our sermon text will be on the epistle reading from Galatians chapter 5. Here we read just the first verse, and select verses will be in the body of the sermon and will certainly allude to other verses as well. And Paul writes to the Galatians in the first verse of this Galatians 5, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. God's Word. Dear worshipers, I wonder how many of you through the years have seen the movie Born Free. Many of you did not exist when it first hit the theaters in 1966. I saw it that summer at an outdoor drive-in theater. The movie is based on the true story of a white couple in Kenya who adopted three lion cubs who had been orphaned. As time passed, two of them were sent to a zoo. But the couple, for whatever reason, had great difficulty parting with the female cub, Elsa. However, after Elsa ran a herd of elephants stampeding through a village, it became obvious to George and Joy Adamson that they were going to have to choose between sending Elsa likewise to a zoo or sending her back into the wild. The couple's agonized decision to set Elsa free was not without its challenges. Elsa did not know the ways of the wild. And she'd been spoiled by people slaughtering and preparing her food for her. She was much friendly now towards human beings. How was that going to work for her in the wild? Well, the wife, Joy, took the lead in acclimating Elsa to the wild. And the day came when the couple finally had to sever ties completely and hope for the best. A year later, tormented with wonder how Elsa was doing, the couple returned to the area of release, and they found Elsa with three lion cubs of her own. Elsa seemed well adapted, yet to the delight of the couple, she hadn't forgotten the loving humans who had meant so much to her in the past. Born free. Living free again. But freedom is not without its challenges and dangers. For Elsa, for humans too, as we will see in this Word of God this evening before us. You know, you and I should have been born free. But because of the sinful nature that we receive from our parents in conception, we come into this world alienated from God and held captive to Satan. We're conceived bound under sin and destined after this life to an eternity chained in the darkness of hell itself. But from eternity, our loving Creator God will that his Son would be born into this world to live a life of perfect relationship with his Father and then offer his life on a cross as a more than adequate sacrifice to redeem the whole world from their sins. And so in God's judgment, you and I and all people were declared innocent and free from the punishment we so much deserve for all our sins. Again, to accomplish this, the second person of the Trinity left his throne on high to be held captive in a human body for some 33 years, near the end of which he offered himself as the lowest of all humans. He became servant to all, a slave for all, and gave his all, his blood, for mankind. And in view of Jesus' sacrifice, God declares the whole human race free from sin, death, and the devil. But that sinful nature in us, sometimes which we call the old Adam, still was holding sway over our lives. we were still more than willing children of the devil. We were caught in a self-destructive mode leading ultimately to eternal bondage in hell. And this is where the second installment of God's grace came into play. God, the Holy Spirit, stepped in and called each one of you into the family of God. God, the Holy Spirit's wonderful gift of faith freed you, freed me from the clutches of Satan to gladly serve our living God. In hymn 592, we sing, Holy Spirit ever working through the church's ministry, teaching, strengthening, and absolving, setting captive sinners free. The weight of the entire letter to the Galatians is Paul's exhortation to Christian converts to live free. Don't keep the Ten Commandments because you have to. You know, that's the old sinful nature in us. It's still in our craw. Live according to the new man, desiring and joyful to do God's will and to love our neighbor, like maybe even that unbelieving Samaritan showed up, the priest and Levite in Jesus' parable. Furthermore, don't keep the commandments and maybe look to add even more, like that rich young ruler came to Jesus in our gospel lesson, thinking that you're going to earn your own way to eternity somehow, or even add the least bit to your salvation. You know, that's your old Adam. They're all over again, despising and rejecting God's free and full grace and seeking your own vain glory. Just live free, the apostle exhorts. Enjoy life in the wide open sunshine of your Savior God. You know, our nation has just gotten done observing independence this last weekend. But friends, Christian freedom is something many, many people in our country know nothing about. It's freedom that a growing percent of Americans have no concept of. And the result is that there are a lot of people in this free country who don't enjoy the Christian freedom that you and I have. How does that show itself in their lives? Well, here's one area where that could be evident. Do you remember the TV show for kids, Sesame Street? I understand you can still watch it on Netflix. But maybe you don't know the story behind a particular character in that show, Oscar the Grouch. Through the decades since 1969, preschool children and their parents have been getting to know all about Oscar. Oscar's probably the world's most famous grouch. He manages to insult everyone he meets. Of course, if you and I live in a trash can, we probably wouldn't have the greatest of attitudes either in our lives. But it's interesting how Oscar the Grouch got his name. In the early days of Sesame Street, writer Jim Henson and John Stone, Sesame Street's director, would meet to go over upcoming shows at a Manhattan restaurant. The name of the restaurant was Oscar's Cavern. And each time they ate there, they were waited on by a guy who was constantly rude and grouchy. He was so over the top with his grouchiness that they actually went to the restaurant to see what he was going to do and say next. And the result was that the waiter's attitude was forever immortalized in the Sesame Street character, Oscar the Grouch. And as I prepared the sermon this week, I thought of Oscar the Grouch when I read St. Paul's words to us that were just very much opposite of him in our lesson from this Galatians 5, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Wow. No grouchiness there. These fruits of the Spirit are characteristics of followers of Christ. Did you catch them all? Let's run them by one more time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know anyone like that who has all these things, so evident in their life? You and I could probably come up with a lot of people who we'd point to as having a lot of the reverse characteristics. And then there's the matter that, unfortunately, we fit that opposite bill too much, and we don't see all that much of these beautiful fruits of the Spirit in our own lives. Here's something we need to understand. None of these characteristics that Paul lists as fruits of the Spirit depend on external circumstances. No matter what happens to you from the outside, you can still possess love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because you, Christian, have a firm hold on eternity. That's in as forever. Whatever our lot in life, we know the best is yet to come. One particular grandma was my kind of woman. On the holidays, she prepared a feast for all her extended family. And just as they're getting done to all that great main course food, she'd gather up many of the dishes and say, "Hang on to your fork. The best is yet to come." And then she'd bring out generous helpings of the greatest dessert that you could imagine. Time came to make funeral preparations for herself, and she instructed the undertaker, "I want a table fork between my hands in the coffin." It was to serve as a not-so-subtle reminder to her children and grandchildren, hang on to your faith. Hang on to your faith. The best is yet to come. You and I live in view of the eternity that our wonderful God has won for us and secured to us. And as such, we can live this very temporal life very differently than would otherwise be the case. Decades ago, Schlitz was the big beer in Wisconsin, and their slogan, some of us might be old enough to remember, "You only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can get." But there's more to this life than living and just dying. When Paul lists the sins of the old Adam here in this text, you quickly gain the understanding that those who sell out to these things are surely blinded by Satan. Caught deep in his clutches, they live in denial of a final accounting to a divine being. And as a result, seeking to grab all that they can, they obsess themselves in the here and now. And as our America becomes less and less Christian, is it any wonder? Without fear of God, there is such a growing shortage of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. How about self-control? In the news this morning was a Sauk County guy in Madison waving a gun at somebody in road rage. I guess they got him. Maybe you heard about that yourself. But psychologists, secular psychologists who lack even deny the concept of sin are themselves baffled to the degree to which some will indulge in this list that God lays before the Galatians. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Sad. And here's something that's maybe even a more sad reality. Somehow, people, even within the church family, miss this text message of the freedom to which you and I have been called. They grow up in the faith, they may even come to church regularly, but they're still seeking a key to happiness. They're still walking around with a God-shaped void in their lives. And even the finest Christians get sucked in too, time and again, by Satan's grass appearing a lot greener on the other side of the fence, and we sin. And then we repent. And then what we need is an appreciation of what has happened in that. A true appreciation that how we've been set free from our sin, that we are motivated then to live in the Christian freedom to which we have been called. Listen, you know, this is the key to life. Rejoice in the Spirit dwelling within you. Celebrate that He's on the throne of your heart instead of Satan. And then remember that there's a constant battle going on for who's going to be king on the mountain. And so constantly feed your faith through word and sacrament, because word and sacrament is how the Holy Spirit keeps us strong in the faith. Keeps the old man and Satan at bay. And then focus on those fruits of the Spirit. Shall I read them again? No, we're going to pass on that for now. You've heard them. Do those things. And as you do those two things, feed your faith and focus on these attributes, you'll find your life transformed. You not only have a form of godliness, but also the Spirit of godliness as well. So do you understand the difference? You know, there are people who are religious. They do a fair job outwardly of keeping the rules and traditions of Christianity, but they have no music within. Think of that as you sing praise again in this order of service here, you know, shortly. All the people who live unaware that the Spirit of God wants to, or maybe even has taken up residence within their hearts, but you find joy in knowing this, that you live free. And why shouldn't you? Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in step with the Spirit. Because through your baptismal grace, you have been reborn. Maybe in your baptism, like the baptism that takes place this coming Sunday, when God called you into His family and into His grace. by which you live free. Amen. Please rise. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Amen. And we sing the next section of our liturgy. If you have that for you, the You Are God, We Praise You. You may be seated. Note that the offering is gathered through the alms case in the back through the first doors there. And sign the guest register if you would please as you have opportunity. Maybe you have already. The next thing is the Lord have mercy, for which we stand again, I guess. So please rise for that. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we pray further the prayer of the day. God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our heart. Strengthen us in true faith. Provide us with all we need. And keep us safe in your care through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the end of this day. Defend us with your mighty power and grant that we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all that we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Let us praise the Lord. And we sing our closing hymn, Our 4,000 Tongues to Sing. You may be seated.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7. Max FM of Baraboo, or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown today at noon on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the service on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page, YouTube pages at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 4-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, will be appreciated. For more information about our congregation, visit www.stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer today is Will Underwood. This is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for him who died for you.
Hey, again, I'm Pastor Kurt Holub, a member of your congregation, year and a half years at best, and wish you best for your week, whatever you might have planned now, if your worship of God already having taken place, and glory to your God, and we'll see you again maybe next Thursday night or Sunday. My wife would say that some mornings she wakes up grouchy and other mornings she lets me sleep in. Not really, but that's a note I thought I'd leave you on. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
The Word of God is that life-giving, fruit-bearing seed that's determined to grow up in us. You can't expect the same plant to thrive in both desert and frozen tundra, but the Word of God has no limits.
Dr. Daniel Pavela tells how God's Word grows like a perfect garden, bearing fruit in every season. Today on the Lutheran Hour. I'm Mark Eicher, glad to be with you once again. The Lutheran Hour is listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church,